It's time for Arts Live and Local. Today is Friday, August 9th. And that's the day that the atomic bomb was dropped on Nagasaki. 3 days earlier on Hiroshima. Makes you wonder. Makes a lot of us wonder. Made Jim Page wonder. Jim Page, one of our most esteemed singer-songwriters, he wrote this in 1974 while thinking about how nuclear war doesn't have to be all at once and obvious, but can be slow and diffuse.
Dropped the bomb in 45 to end the world war. No one had ever seen such a terrible sight before. The world watched with eyes wide to see where it would lead. As the politics of power passed around the sea, was it time to remember that we never can forget they were playing Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette. Like the saviors of our modern human race, with the radiation halos that hung above their face, with the key to the sure cure and treatment of our ills, a hot shot of cobalt in a pocket full of pills, speaking always of the enemy who lurked across the seas while moving in among us like a carrier disease. Inside the bunkers of the concrete and lead, Einstein's disciples working steadily ahead, building heavy metal power plants to fire the city lights. And all you hear is the underground humming in the night, and the walls of tight security circle all around, where they spill out all the poison and they bury it in the ground. Up in the harbors, hidden secretly away, the warheads and the submarines await to make their play, and the military masterminds improve on their designs, while the soldiers get all doped up and stumble through the lines, and the leaks in the water get carried by the tide. They call it national security, I call it attempted homicide.
Well, that's Jim Page for you. Thank you, Jim Page, who always manages to let us know what's going on. Make sure we take note and maybe see what we can do about it. So, right now what we're doing is making sure that everybody knows how important the arts are in lifting life for all people all over the world. We've got a very full show, and I'm going to start out with some outrageously exciting and fabulous music. Coming up next weekend, we have a double whammy. It's very exciting. This is how people in the arts cooperate, people in the arts and business cooperate with one another. So Friday and Saturday, the 16th and 17th, is blues and seafood in Il Waco, and Sunday is jazz and oysters in Ocean Park, and it's their 29th year. So a lot of us are getting old, and we love it. Let's hear from Coco Montoya, who is going to be one of the guests at the Blues and Seafood. Thanks for being here.
Freddie May, the girl that I adore, sent me packing in my beat up floor. Told me money was a thing that I lacked, but I came back in a Cadillac. Man of means, you don't do nothing.
with her arms open wide. I said, too late, baby, I don't need you no more. Well, now I'm wiser and a whole lot richer since I got that girl out of the picture. I get more loving, it's a natural fact. Look out, I'm back in a Cadillac.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you can sit still to that, good luck, folks. That's Coco Montoya, and that is next week, and I'm going to find out the schedule for you in a minute. Let me introduce my two guests. I have Diana Thompson here with, Diana's representing Jazz and Oysters. There is that right, the 29th season or 29th
I think it's
year?
The 28th.
28th.
For Jazz and Oysters.
For Jazz and Oysters. I know. Well, Blues and Seafood is just a baby compared to that, isn't it? When did you guys start?
I think we started 5 years ago, but we are definitely a baby in regards
to
this event. But we can't give a big enough shout out to Jazz and Oysters. They've really helped us get our foot in the door and get this thing established.
So that's Bruce Peterson, who is representing the Owaco Merchant Association. He's also a photographer with a gallery, and he's also man about town. And you hear Bruce around here because he's one of our auctioneers for the museum, the Columbia Pacific
Regional
Heritage Museum in Owaco. We used to just say the Owaco Museum. It was so much easier. However, it's a
wonderful
it
facility.
It is a wonderful museum, and Bruce helps out with their fundraisers too. So next weekend, starting on Friday night, Blues and Seafood, which started as a one-day event, and
yes,
now has moved to be Friday night and Saturday, and complementing the Jazz and Oysters, which is the long-term one, which is still a one-day event. But what a day. And now we have what a weekend. So this is all happening on the Long Beach Peninsula. So why don't, Bruce, why don't you start, since yours is first next weekend. Tell us what's happening Friday and Saturday.
Well, let me run through this as quick as I can. Carol, we have a big lineup. We start Friday at 6 o'clock with the Robin Givens Band, and then we lead into the North Coast Blues Band with last year's headliners, the Heartbreakers, which is consists of seven of the Pacific Northwest best female blues singers that we've brought together. Then Saturday, we're starting off at 2:30. And we got a great lineup on Saturday with Kevin Self and the Tornadoes, followed by the Strange Tones, then Norman Sylvester, and our big headliners, Coco Montoya. And I would like to make another shout-out. We have a very special guest star. We have the high school jazz band's going to come in at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Excellent.
And sort of kick stuff off for
us. Is that
at the Owaco High School Jazz Band.
Owaco High School, excellent.
And we're very excited about having those kids come down and get on the stage at 2 o'clock.
You know, it's so amazing because not only do we still have a music program going on, but we have professional musicians playing so that the kids coming up can see what it's all about and can get involved and be inspired. And I just know it saves lives. That's what this is all about. You know, it's having a great time and giving people inspirations. So that's all happening Friday night and Saturday at the port?
At the port. We have a large tent at the marina, so it's a rain or shine. We will be there, but of course it'll be a beautiful day, as it's been the last few years. So we're very excited. We're expecting a big crowd. In fact, I would encourage people to get online at bluesandseafood.com and get their tickets early. We have Friday, Saturday options, and we also have a full weekend package for Blues and Seafood and Jazz and Oysters that'll save them about $10.
Okay.
So we're hoping that folks will get online at bluesandseafood.com or watermusicfestivals.com, and at either location you could get tickets for the entire weekend.
Now, when you say bluesandseafood.com, is that blues and or n or a or oo?
You spell it out.
Spell it out. Thank you. Okay. Bluesandseafood.com.
Yes.
Okay. Boy, that is so exciting. So it's 7 to 10 Friday night and then 2 to 10 on Sunday. And that was all the blues stuff. And I'm presuming there's a little seafood there too.
Huh? Yeah, we have a full food court, which we'll have all of our vendors are going to make some sort of seafood concoction. We have everything from a pasta shrimp thing to grilled tuna fish to crab cakes to fish and chips and oysters and all of that stuff.
I love it.
Although we're downplaying, we will have oysters, but you got to get up to Ocean Park. You got to get up there and get some oysters.
Right. And I always like to mention, and Diana knows this, I always like to mention that Jazz and Oysters, did Jazz and Oysters kind of inspire you to the blues and seafood?
Oh, they're the ones that absolutely inspired us. Yeah. In fact, we called them when we started. We had done a sort of a community picnic kind of affair where we had a barbecue and we had some music and stuff, and we wanted to expand that, and we were looking for a name. And so we got hold of the folks at Jazz and Oysters and said, you know, we'd like to sort of play off of that a little bit, if you don't mind, and we'll offer a different kind of music and different food and see if we can if the two things will work together.
And they have.
Well,
they?
Let's let Diane tell us whether
so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a plug in for a couple of KMUN folks who actually helped start Jazz and Oysters. You know who I'm talking about. I get teary when I think of this. Carlos and Sharon Montoya Welsh. He was the jazz guy right here on KMUN, and they both still are, mind you, but not on KMUN. She was the oyster woman. She had a cooking show here, and she wrote the Oyster Cookbook. And so they thought, what a good idea, how to make some money for the Water Music Festival, because they weren't, at that time, it was mostly classical. They weren't classical people, but they loved the peninsula, and so this got started. And so we're all family here, for sure. So, Diana, you've been with Jazz and Oysters for a long time?
Since 2001.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
still
a few years.
Hanging in there. Yes. Now, I said it was set up as a benefit for Water Music Festival. What's happening this year?
Well, we've changed the focus. When Water Music was started, it was because there was really not very many opportunities for people to listen to high-quality music on the peninsula. And now there's opportunities in Astoria.
Other than the radio station, of course. She means live.
Yes, right, live music. Yes. And so now there's a lot more opportunities. And so what we're doing this year is the fall concerts are expected to be self-supporting.
Oh, great.
And instead of Jazz and Oysters being a fundraiser for just those concerts, we're hoping to make enough money to contribute some to the Ocean Beach School District music program help support them.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, apropos of that, later in the program, we have Columbia River Symphony folks coming, and they've worked with folks on the peninsula as well. Mm-hmm. Again, having adults and young people work together and putting money into the school system to keep that music going, bringing the high school kids to the performances, it's terrific. So, this is Jazz and Oysters is on Sunday. How's that going to work?
Well, music will start at noon, and Acoustica is our first group, and they are some of the best musicians in the Astoria area.
Yeah,
so they're going to start us out, and then Patrick Lamb's group will be in the after. You know, they will come on second. Patrick Lamb's from the Portland area, absolutely incredible
saxophone
player.
Yeah, super
high energy.
Right,
just it's really going to be a wonderful day. And absolutely wonderful food. Our volunteers create our food. The restaurants on the peninsula and some over here donate desserts. Taylor Shellfish has been donating oysters to us for the last several years. We will be grilling oysters all day long. It is wonderful.
I'm starting to drool right now. Okay, so the way it works is we're not going to give any prices, but you can go online and I'll give the websites, or let them give the websites again at the end, and buy your tickets now, either for the entire weekend, which is a great deal, or for either of the festivals, one day or however it works out. And then you go, and is there going to be someone there to help people park their car? Do they need to carpool, preferably, or...
Well, at the port, we have lots of free parking.
You do.
At the port.
Good.
They're not going to have any problem parking there.
And at the Wilson Field in Ocean Park?
Right. We used to be up in Oysterville, and one of our challenges there was the parking.
Yes.
So now we're at Wilson Field, and there is plenty of parking.
Right. Okay. And where is Wilson Field?
Just south of Bay Avenue in Ocean Park on Sandridge Road. That's the called the back road. It's on the bay side of the peninsula.
Right. Okay. Okay, so now people get there. They've got their tickets, or they can buy tickets on site. And then they get to go in, bring a blanket or a chair or just roam around or what?
Well, it's all seating where we are. We're undercover and we have chairs. So we're not encouraging people, don't bring your own chairs or blankets or anything for us.
Very nice.
I don't mean
to speak
for Diana, but
and for us, we do encourage people to bring their chairs and blankets because it is all outdoor, and we don't provide chairs. Though there will be picnic tables in the beer garden and a few off to the side in the.
She didn't mention that before. There's
beer
garden.
Beer and wine gardens.
Yes. Okay.
So we have one of those too.
Oh, you do. Oh boy,
and it's quite popular.
We will also this year have some beer from the Lost Rue Brewing Company.
Aha. Okay, so now for the food and the brews, people pay separately, am I right? Okay, okay, so bring your cash, and of course the musicians may have CDs to sell, so
I'm certain
bring
they will.
Some checkbooks or cash for that as well. The most fun part is you can go with your whole family and enjoy this fabulous double festival. Again, Friday night and Saturday, Friday 7 to 10, Saturday 2 to 10, at the Porterville Waco is the Blues and Seafood Festival. And then on Sunday from noon until
5,
is the Jazz and Oysters. And you can, why don't you give the website one more time? Your website is?
Sure, we're at bluesandseafood.com.
Okay, and Diana?
Watermusicfestival.com.
Okay, excellent. Folks, I highly recommend. I have taken part in this, and it's a delightful festival.
I would like to make a shout-out to one of our sponsors, the Virginia Blues Boys. They're the folks that have gotten us the money together to get Coco Montoya to come. He's a Bay Area blues artist that dates all the way back to John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. So we're planning on him blowing the roof off.
And he's going to be on Saturday.
He's on Saturday night, and we are very excited that he's going to be there. And quite frankly, if it hadn't been for these sponsors' help, we really wouldn't have been able to afford to bring him in. So.
Any idea what time he's coming? I know you're finishing up at 10.
He's coming on between 8:30 and 8:45.
Okay. Okay,
and
folks.
I would encourage people to get Saturday night tickets early.
Right. Even if you just go to that, it's worth the price of a ticket. So take advantage of these folks. And listen next week. It's true. Coast Community Radio is starting our exciting pledge drive next week, and my guests, Bruce Peterson from Blues and Seafood and Diana Thompson from Jazz and Oysters, have brought tickets for me to share with you next week as part of our pledge drive. And You can't get them now. You have to wait till next week and call in. So do that. Listen up, and I'll give you my number now. That is the station's number, 503-325-0010, and it'll be 1-800-510-0010. So, yeah, have a listen. Anything else we need to know?
I'd like to apologize to the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum for butchering their name previously.
I think it's actually better that way, because now people will remember them. The most important part is they're in Ilwaukee.
And they're a great organization.
And they have great stuff. Thank you so much for coming in.
And thank you, Carol, for letting us come onto your show. Not the first time you've done this. And for those of you listening, please call in next week and support this radio station.
Oh, thank you, because
absolutely.
I can tell you, Diana and Bruce both do and have for a long time, personally, with their businesses and in every other way. So thank you so much. Okay, going to take some little bit of music here, and I think I've got, by golly, I've got Bella Fleck on, and that's because Bella Fleck, together with his wife, Abigail Washburn, thank you, Abigail, for bringing Bella here, are going to be at the Coaster Theater on Tuesday the 13th. The concert is sold out. However, there are several tickets. You can call or go to the Cannon Beach Arts Association. There is a silent auction for the last four tickets in the front, and it's going to be a fabulous concert. Bella Fleck, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, Bella Fleck, right here in Cannon Beach at the Coaster Theater, Tuesday the 13th. And again, tickets are all sold out, but you can get in touch with the Cannon Beach Arts Association and find a ticket through them. Let's see. You can call them at 503-436-0744 or go to cannonbeacharts.org. It's a silent auction for the last four tickets to the concert. And you don't have to buy a ticket to experience my next guest. Mm-hmm. And I am absolutely delighted to have a man whose work I have been loving, admiring, and enjoying for, I'm not even sure how long, but I'm going to let Christos Koutsouras tell us how long he's been sharing his art right here in Astoria and Clatsop County at Imogen Gallery on 11th and Marine Drive. So welcome, Christos.
Nice to be here.
I am so glad. Yasu.
Yes.
Yasu. So how long, when did you connect up with Terry and put your work in her gallery?
Well, we connect up with Terry about 2 years ago, and she started talking about running her own gallery right after we met, and I pretty much encouraged her to do so because she has a very good eye, and she's been scarfed of the experience working with artists now 25 years, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All kinds.
All
That's
kinds.
Right. That's right. And then, so you decided to take part in that. Now, you were living in Seattle, is that correct?
Yes, I live in Seattle, but I come down in Astoria to work, to paint. It all started 2010, about 3 years ago, when I was working for an exhibition for the Indianapolis Museum of Contemporary Art, and the theme was the Pacific.
Ah, okay.
So I was looking for a studio around the coast, and I happened to drive by Astoria, and here I am 3 years later, celebrating 1 year Imogen Gallery and 1 year me showing my work in Pacific Northwest.
Okay, so we do want to, I'm glad you mentioned that, because in addition to Christos' opening tomorrow night, this is also a party, and we want to send out a great big mazel tov, a great big congratulations to Imogen Gallery and Terry Sund for their 1 year anniversary. Time sure flies, doesn't it?
It does.
I don't know whether she feels that way. She's been working it all this time, but it seems like just yesterday when she opened the gallery. Now you. We said you're in Seattle. People can tell you're not from here. And so you were born, is this right? You were actually born on Samos?
I was born on the island of Samos here.
Oh, my gosh. I was there in 1967. What year? Oh, I don't know whether you were alive then.
I was 10 years old.
10 years old. Oh, okay. Okay. You're not as, you know. And you didn't stay there. Did you do your schooling in Greece?
I did my grammar school. I left, actually, the island on the year of 17 and been embarked on cargo ships, and I decided first to become a navigator, which I very quickly decided to quit it to become an artist.
You know, I have another friend like that who was, was just enamored of the sea. And you still are enamored of the sea, judging by your work and your being here in Astoria.
Well, that's definitely so. Like, I've been hounded by the horizon, I can say so, which is something that, those long hours on the bridge when you're navigating, you have just always this line which is moving always ahead of you, farther and farther you go. And there's a great space to put thoughts and emotions and feelings and observations. And that's what I'm doing as an artist now, too.
There was a piece hanging in the gallery that I told you I got kind of addicted to. And today when I went in,
I felt more than one got addicted to that.
And I'm sure they also are feeling a separation anxiety because it's gone. What is there instead is just magnificent, though. It had me.
Oh, thank you.
I was, I found my whole body was kind of vibrating looking at that piece. Can you describe that for
Thanks
people?
Thanks for saying that. I mean, the title of the piece is Facing Fears. And it's a depiction of a forest, more of an abstract piece of a forest. And I mean, we all know through the fairy tales and also own experiences when we are walking in the forest, it's very difficult to orient yourself. I mean, you don't have the sky, you don't have the stars or the sun to show your position, like in the open sea. And it is more of a game with a title and the work where, like, facing fears can be something very scary, but once you are in there and you explore your life, then you suddenly realize that mine might not be that bad, you know. And this work is really very engaging, I mean, from the size of it, from the
double panel, too.
It's like it's a diptych. Huge. It's about 14 feet long to almost 6 feet high. Mm-hmm. So it's a very engaging piece, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I actually sent some of your, announcement to some friends of mine, people I actually met in Greece in 1967. Mm-hmm. So it goes that far back. And just these small pieces, they had no idea what they look like when they're so huge. Because you work, a lot of your work is large.
I mean, for me, it's not large. I like big scale painting because it engages me physically. You know, I have to you move from right to left. Mm-hmm. You position yourself in the middle. And it's it is a little bit more difficult than in the whole composition. It's more challenging to get a big piece right than a smaller one.
Do you, well, what happened, my friend wrote back and said, I just feel as though I'm drawn right into the painting. And I said, yep, that's right.
That's
exactly
what,
and that was just, but speaking of the large format and the challenge of it, do you have a sense of what you're going to be doing before you begin?
Well,
how much of a sense?
I mean, a lot of my art, and I guess a lot of art in general, begins with observation, and that's something that happened to me in my daily life. So, when it comes down to execute a piece or a series of paintings, I have a vague idea of what it's going to look like, but I'm in a constant conversation with the canvas. I mean, it's also the way I studied in Germany, where I react immediately with the canvas and whatever happens when the color activates the surface, and I have to be in a constant dialogue. And even though they take time to be done, they have a kind of a spontaneity into them.
And you mentioned color. You work in color, but also that piece that was up for a long time, the wave, was
black and white.
Black and white.
Yeah, well, the in black and white, and how you use the contrast is how you use color in general in painting. I mean, if you cannot work the black and white, then don't touch color. I just love drawing. That's something I haven't done extensively for the last years. But I actually do it now. I'm working on another exhibition that's going to be in Greece, and I have a friend who's a poet, and I got her writings. She trusted me with her writings, and now that's going to be an exhibition where a written word and drawing, and maybe a little bit of painting, will go along together.
And will this be in Greek then?
It's going to be in Greek, yeah. And it's going to be taking place in Greece.
Okay. Well, I want to know more about that.
Oh,
well,
definitely.
I'll have to time my visit for when your show is up. So this is your first solo exhibit on this side of the country, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
What an honor for us, and Terry and you both. She's celebrating her first year, well, and you're celebrating your first solo exhibit.
I feel honored myself to know Terry and actually to be in Astoria, because it's a place where I like it, because when I'm walking down the riverfront, people say hello to each other. You know, mm-hmm. they're greeting mm-hmm. to each other, and they're not loud. They're like they acknowledge you're being there, and that's something I think that is missing from the big cities and in general in life today.
Well, let's I don't think I said when this is happening. It's happening tomorrow night is the opening. Now, if you happen to be in town today only, you can get a sneak preview for a little bit longer. The show is up, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Starting with the window. Now, what am I looking at in the window?
Well, you look at an ink drawing and a big black and white drawing, which is the house of my family in Samos, where my grandparents lived, and my father and I spent time there as a child myself. So the title of the exhibition is Passages, and I thought that it would be a nice beginning, because mm-hmm. we all have to go somewhere, we have to leave a place so we can go somewhere else. And usually the first place we're living is our home.
So does your family still have that home, or is it?
I actually own it myself now.
Okay.
It passed it over to me, Christos. Which is like, with the tradition comes a lot of expenses to fix it.
Well, maybe it's time for a group party.
Yep.
We'll talk. So the exhibit, as Christos Koutsouras, my guest, mentioned, Passages, and it's an exploration of time, place, and passing. And it's a beautiful show. Imogen, is the address is 240 11th. It's in that hotbed of Astoria, now 11th and Marine Drive. And tomorrow evening is Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria. Many galleries are taking part. And Imogen will be open from 5, well, it'll be open all day. But the celebration of anniversary and of Christos's work is from 5 until 9 p.m. Congratulations on the show.
Thank
on the
you.
Beautiful show, and I can't wait to hear more about everything that's coming, and I'm so glad you like Astoria and sticking around.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having me.
Thank you. Okay. Got a couple more guests, so I want to play a tune from Abigail Washburn, who is part of that Bella Fleck concert, actually. She's the one who brought him here, so we're very thankful. Have a listen, and then stay tuned. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook.
said if I don't hang you, give you 99. I'll give you 99, boys. I'll give you 99. If I don't hang you, give you 99. If you wanna please your captain, sink 'em low, boys. Raise 'em high, sink 'em low, boys. Sink 'em low.
She's dynamite. That's Abigail Washburn. And she will be here along with Bella Fleck and who knows who else. And that is Tuesday the 13th. Good luck if you're trying to get a ticket. No, I'm not gloating just because I get to go. Oh, did I say that? Hi, guests.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, I did. Well, my next guests are two very good friends. One of them you hear on a regular basis here on the radio, and that would be Margaret Teary. She is the Astoria Fiber Arts Academy queen. And and the other is someone, now you have been here on this show, though, with me, haven't you, Rita?
I don't think so, really? Unless it was 20, 30 years ago.
No, I've only been doing the show 14 years. So so maybe Rita is a radio virgin. Wow, what a deal. Rita Brown is here, and many people in the community do know Rita, even if she hasn't been on this show, because she used to live here, and we love her. And she is she was a graphic designer and also a costume designer for many different theaters. And she now does a lot of upcycling of fabrics, materials of all kinds. And she is going to be the featured artist in Saturday Night Art Walk. And I do want to just mention that Kala is featuring Sandy Rumajou, the mayor of Newport, tomorrow night. And River Sea is featuring Jesse Reno, who is a dynamite shamanic art work. I know his work. And Leslie Peterson, who opened last week with Regatta Style Stuff. And Isabel Johnston Haste is going to be in the window with Mermaids and Water Creatures. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, Christos at Imogen and Rita at the Astoria Fiber Arts Academy. What's the address on that, Marge?
1296 Duane Street.
Okay. Okay. And that's going to be 5 to 8 tomorrow night.
And it's not on the map, so you have to use...
Right. Yeah. If you do take part in Second Saturday, you can usually pick up maps at some of the galleries. But this one isn't on the map, so you will need to find it. 1296 Duane. It's pretty simple to find if you know
it's
where
right
to look.
Near the Liberty stage door.
Yes, or, now you see, there's a theater person speaking, or it's right across from the falafel stand. There's a foodie,
yeah.
And or the Thursday market. So you can find it. Rita, welcome, and what are you going to be showing us?
Well, thank you. Well, I have hats that I've been working on for the last 3 years. They're wireframe and a little bit of buckram, but...
A little bit of what?
Buckram, which is a traditional hat-making material.
Oh, okay.
These are a little lighter, they're more whimsical, they're more theatrical than a hat that you would wear. It's more like a hat you might wear, well, perhaps not to church, but to a party.
Are they full-size hats? Or
some of them are full-sized, and some of them are little perchy hats.
I've seen your perchy hats, and they are absolutely precious.
Thank you.
Oh, I just love those.
Thank you.
Yes. I read a statement that you made about hats and costumes being so important in the theater, conveying sense of time and mood. And my favorite line was, "So much responsibility for a hat." I love that.
Well, you don't, when you're in the theater, you don't think of those things.
Exactly.
But yeah, a hat can convey a lot about the scene and about the mood, or whether someone's a villain or a good guy.
Or a baseball player.
Or baseball player.
Yeah. So what made you want to do hats? Where did you start that? And what materials are you using besides the two that you mentioned?
Well, I've been working in costuming for about 25 years in musical theater, opera, straight theater, and a little bit of burlesque. But about 3 years ago, I took a class in this wireframe hat making, and I was just kind of fell in love with it. I love the idea of using something that might get thrown out, like a scrap of fabric, and making something interesting out of it, and putting it to good use again. Or it might be something like the bag that your oranges come in. Those.
Yeah, now we're getting to the truth of it. This exhibit is hats, but Rita also has made full clothing, fully clothed costumes that are made out of good heavens.
Things that would plastic, be thrown away.
Plastic tablecloths that were thrown away that she found and cut up. And
cleaned.
And cleaned. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. So now, are these hats going to be for sale?
Yes.
Part of the exhibit. So people could actually walk out in one of your hats and go to a party.
They could, yeah. A regatta party, perhaps.
Exactly. It is regatta weekend. I think that would be a fine idea. And the show is going to be up for
a month.
A month. So, folks, if for some reason you aren't able to come, but I highly recommend that you come tomorrow night because Rita will be there.
Right, from 5 to 8.
From 5 to 8 at 1296 Duane, the Astoria Fiber Arts Academy. And you can find out a lot of information about the process and the materials, and perhaps even get some fashion advice.
I don't think so.
No, that's not your forte.
Certainly not unsolicited.
No.
And if you happen to have any interesting junk sitting around your house, please bring it along. I have a little bag right now at my apartment that I've been saving for Rita to inspire her for next year.
I love the idea. Have I got junk for you? Great. Okay, folks, so this is second Saturday in Astoria, tomorrow evening from 5 to 8 at the Astoria Fiber Arts Academy, 1296 Duane. Check out Rita Brown's... do you have a name for this show? Just hats.
Fascinators.
Fascinating fascinators.
Yes.
There you go. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Margaret Thierry from the Astoria Fiber Arts Academy and Rita Brown, our guest artist. I'm delighted you're here.
Thank you, Carol.
You bet. Thank you, Carol. I have some music from Michael Hurley, who is going to be at Fort George on Saturday from 6:30 on. They're going to have music, and it's all regatta oriented.
If you feel got a smiling face. I feel like the dark side you hide away. Mr. Man in the Moon, are you really blue? Are you shedding those
tears? That's Michael Hurley again at Fort George. We love you, Michael. And right now, I have something very special for you, so have a listen, folks. Wow. Okay, well, that was live saxophone right here on the radio. Now, that's that might be a first, actually, because saxophone is a hard thing to put out over the radio. It can be pretty loud. That was terrific. And who was playing that saxophone? That would be Spencer Percy. Is that correct?
Yes,
now,
it is.
Why don't you bring your mic a little bit closer? Go ahead. Okay. And Spencer is from Warrenton High School.
Yes.
What year are you going into?
I am now going to be a freshman at Clatsop Community College. I just graduated.
You graduated. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful. How long have you been playing saxophone?
Let's see. This will be my eighth year.
Where did you start? What gave you the idea to?
At first, fifth grade, brand new school in Warrenton. Turns out they were starting band. And at first, I had always wanted to play flute, which is quite the difference from saxophone.
Yes.
That was also the year I found out my uncle was a band teacher, and he had told me that I didn't want to play flute. He told me I wanted to play saxophone.
Wait a minute. He wasn't the band teacher in Warrenton.
No.
Okay. That would have been very awkward, yes. So he told you you wanted to play saxophone, and somehow that got into your brain, and that's what you did.
Oh yeah. And I love playing sax.
And you've been playing it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you something. If there hadn't been a school program, would you have still been able to play?
Most likely not. Being in band hadn't even crossed my mind until fifth grade. It was introduced to me.
Okay, folks, now this was not a setup. I just spoke to Spencer just since he came here, and he is here with Angela Calvin Peterson. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
And Angela comes in most times when Columbia River Symphony is doing a concert because she works in Astoria Schools.
Yes.
Her husband, however, who is the conductor for the Columbia River Symphony, works in the Jewel School, which is too far away for him to get here. So Corey Peterson is never on the air. And I am delighted that you made it this time, too.
Thank you.
This is terrific. So they have a concert, but it's not, there's no such thing as a normal concert. But I'm going to let Corey tell you about it because it's talk about uncles.
Yep.
I mean, this is outrageous what they're doing. But let me tell you when it is. It is the 11th. That will be this Sunday at 3 p.m. And it's at the Astoria High School Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, Corey, you're going to conduct the Columbia River Symphony.
That is correct. Yeah.
And now, what do I hear about somebody else conducting another group?
Well, this all came about a little while ago. I was applying for a grant for the Columbia River Symphony with the Oregon Cultural Trust, along with the Clatsop Cultural Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get a nice grant for a youth series, family-oriented concert in conjunction with my twin brother.
There you go, folks. Wait a second. Did you hear this? It's a family-oriented concert. What could be better than Corey talks to his brother, Carrie. I don't know what your parents were thinking. My God.
It's a cruel joke.
It is. Corey and Carrie Peterson. Each has his own band, and they are doing a concert together. Actually, you've already done one, haven't you?
We did one last weekend in Vancouver. It had as mentioning earlier to Spencer, we had over 430 people in the audience for that performance.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was wonderful.
That's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope this is a terrific turnout also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I understand this is a free concert?
This is an absolutely free concert. We're trying to pull in. I heard earlier in the radio show about you mentioning the youth and keeping the schools and music and whatnot alive. And so this is an attempt to have families come out and the youth from the schools in the area come out and check out what the symphony is about.
And make it available to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Anybody who can come.
Just
wants
come
to
on mm-hmm. in.
Bring as many children and neighbors and
mm-hmm.
grandparents, everybody. Well, yeah, you know, I forgot when we first started talking about jazz and oysters and blues and seafood with the idea that there are adults playing music and that they're setting an example, modeling, plus enjoying the young people.
And that's expensive. And that's true. A lot of people think, and I've mentioned this before, or my wife has, that the Columbia River Symphony isn't just comprised of students. It's also a lot of adults in there. It's a fairly good mixture in there. So it's a good thing to have them side by side working together.
Absolutely. Now, you started it as a youth...
Youth Symphony about 5 years ago, yeah. Nine people, and we're up to 65 now.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that the atmosphere in the group is so positive that people just love joining it, so it's kind of morphed into what it wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. So do you have some other families happening in? Both of you are there, husband and wife. Do you have some generational or couples?
We have a family that comes in from Newburgh, Oregon, that used to live in town here, and so they come out on Saturdays. We have
got a wonderful two violinists. They sit side by side, mother and daughter, and the daughter's our youngest.
Wow.
She's nine, I think.
Wow. I think actually she's going to be 10.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
How wonderful. How wonderful. And they come all the way back because they enjoyed the experience so much.
Mm-hmm.
So you are playing with the Columbia River Symphony.
Yes.
And what do you think about the different age groups playing together?
Well, I had also been playing with the North Coast Symphonic Band. They're
mostly adults.
Mm-hmm, mostly. I had joined when I was 14 in eighth grade. And I was the youngest. And I think I was the youngest to have joined so far. And just being in different age groups, people learn from each other.
Yeah.
The older learns from the younger learns from older. It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's true. So, folks, we're almost out of time. So let's again mention that this is happening on Sunday, this Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Astoria High School. And it is a free concert, and it is going to be fabulous. Just give us a rundown on what you're going to be playing.
It's a Summer Pops concert. It's for young and old at heart. We've got themes from the movies, Jurassic Park, Star Trek, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Star Wars.
All sorts of fun little pieces.
That's
so it'll be a good time.
Something for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. And it would be great. Is there either a phone number or a website or something where people can get in touch?
Website would be www.columbiarriversymphony.org.
Okay.
And it'll be wonderful. Both ensembles for the second half will combine for a 100-plus piece orchestra.
Oh, my gosh. That's which is a good thing. You've got such a big stage, too.
Oh, yes.
That is fabulous. And check that website also if you think this is something that you and or your family members might like to get involved with. The Columbia River Symphony with my guests, Corey Peterson, the conductor, Angela Calvin Peterson. What's your title, Angela?
I'm a violin player.
You're a violin player, okay. And Spencer Percy, who is?
The sax player.
Sax player, there you go. Thank you so much for coming in. Have a great concert.